Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and joining me now, Peggy Norris is the Deputy Director of Education and Outreach at Sanford Underground Research Facility, and her daughter, Molly Brown, is Vice President of Energy Production of GenPro. This is a company based in South Dakota, and we'll talk more about the experiment that GenPro is doing. But first, I want to take just a couple of minutes, Molly and Peggy, to talk about, take me back to 1991 and the first time. Where were you seeing an eclipse together? Go ahead,
Hi, Molly.
Hi, Mom. The first eclipse that we saw was 1991 in Cabo San Lucas. And that was before Cabo San Lucas was the tourist destination that it is today. So I think there was maybe one hotel in town and a Senor Frogs, and that was about it. And we spent the day on the beach and saw our first total eclipse of the sun together.
Actually, you went with us into the desert.
Oh, see,
remember?
I don't remember things so well.
Molly was about 11, and what I remember about that eclipse, which was like almost 7 minutes long, it was the longest eclipses come in 18-year cycles, and that cycle has the longest duration eclipse. And I remember we were waiting for totality, and she was sunning herself on the roof of the car out in the middle of the desert, and she got cold because the temperature was dropping so much during the eclipse.
Now, where else has Chasing Eclipse taken you?
Well, this will be my 15th, and I believe, Molly, it may be your fifth?
Yes, it will be my fifth. So as a family, we've been to Turkey and Africa and China, and then this will be our fifth together, and we've got aunts and uncles coming up, and my brother's flying in from California. So we kind of use these eclipses every once in a while as a nice family reunion.
So you've turned
this
into a...
I've been to Mongolia and some other Indonesia and above the Arctic Circle and a bunch of other places where I didn't, where Molly wasn't able to go.
But now you've turned this into a family affair.
We have.
Yes.
So now you get to add Nebraska to your list.
And it's going to be the most memorable one ever, I'm sure.
Well, it's exciting for me especially because most of the work that I've been doing on the solar energy side has been in Nebraska over the last year and a half. So we've got multiple systems that are going to be in the path of totality. So to have those systems online where we can read in real-time data what's going to happen during the eclipse is going to be very exciting.
Now, take me to that moment. I mean, I haven't traveled and haven't chased, but I was around in 1979, but I have been racking my brain trying to remember. So take me to that moment when it is in a total eclipse and the level of excitement with all of the people around you.
It, when the sun goes total, which is not going to be, in South Dakota, it's not going to have quite the impact. But when you're in the zone of totality and you get that last, what's called the diamond ring, when that last flash of light comes and the sun goes total and the whole corona, which is the gases that the sun emits, and they go out 2 to 3 times the diameter of the sun, that is a moment when you just hear everybody gasp, everybody around you. And it's a very emotional, almost visceral reaction. So.
Well, we're going to hear a little bit more about that moment and that corona moment with a scientist who is working on a special for NOVA coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll have him on. And so, Molly, I want to bring on Lee DeLang. He is the COO of GenPro, and we're going to talk a little bit about the experiment that you have. Peggy, I want to thank you for taking time, and good luck with your balloon launch.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye, Mom.
So Molly and Lee DeLang, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
So let's talk a little bit about GenPro and what the experiment that you're working on. I know it's relatively a small experiment, but it could have big implications.
Yes, we're quite interested in this event just because of the location, as Molly said, to some of our jobs that we've been working on in the last year and a half. But we thought it would be a great idea to bring a demonstration unit down to that area right in the path and just understand more fully how events like this impact solar production and how our equipment responds and so forth. So it's a very, very small scale. We're going to be bringing down one of our solar water pumping demonstration units just to kind of get an idea of, really what in reality is going to happen. There's if you do any sort of research at all and get out on the internet, there's a lot of people talking about it. It's a lot of industry experts just kind of predicting what they think is going to happen and making preparations for solar production systems in the path. But nobody is completely sure what's going to happen. So we think it's an exciting time and a great way for us to just get more information and understand better the technology.
And what is your hypothesis? Oh, go ahead, Molly.
Oh, I was going to say what the water pumping unit really allows us to do is give you a good visual of what happens as the solar levels decrease, because the solar is not just going to cut out all at once. You're going to have a slow, gradual decline in the irradiance that's in the atmosphere, and the water pumping unit will actually decline with the solar decline. So you'll be able to see the fluctuations in the water output of that unit as the moon moves in front of the sun.
But doesn't most solar panels, doesn't it store the energy? So are we really talking that the actual device will slow down, or are we talking about storage will slow?
No, the solar panels themselves do not store energy. They only conduct energy. So unless you put a battery system or some type of storage unit with that solar system, it's only a means of capturing and conducting that energy into another vehicle.
So then during the full eclipse, will it stop altogether during those 2 minutes?
That's what we don't know.
That's what you're going to find out.
Exactly. I think we may still have a little bit of production going on, but if it gets dark enough, then it may shut off altogether.
So you really need an absolutely cloud-free day.
That would be ideal, yes.
Okay, so let's talk about the long-term implications then for what you're hoping to learn. Lee, I mean, how is this then going to translate across the solar industry?
Well, I think for us and really from a national perspective, the reason this is a little bigger deal, this solar eclipse, is that since our last one in 1979, there has been a great increase in solar production systems installed across the country. Really, in fact, in the last 5 years, a very large increase of really tenfold over the last 5 years of solar energy facilities across the country. So that brings in a whole different set of challenges for those individuals and organizations that have to manage the flow of power throughout our grid. So there are a lot of players involved here. For example, there's you have the utility companies that are for the most part right now producing energy from traditional power plants such as coal, natural gas, hydroelectric power facilities, and they've been doing that for decades. And with something like solar power added into that mix that have different variables that come along with that in terms of weather and cloudy days and rainy days and different seasons like winter and summer and kind of depending on where those power facilities are located throughout the country. They vary from, you know, minute to minute to, you know, month by month. And these system operators then have to take all of this power that is being generated from all these different types of plants and match that with the actual load that we as consumers and businesses and industries are consuming. And so that's a very challenging thing to do. Just normally with traditional power plants, being able to match that production with the load that they need to satisfy. And then you throw in renewable energy sources as wind and solar and others. Then you have a lot of different variables that come into play. So the amount of information that we're kind of developing over time, and then with this eclipse, is going to be just sort of a fun and interesting addition to, you know, what the technology can do and how it's affected, and how we can better inform our clients of how, you know, what they can expect on their end. You know, there's just a lot of eyes on this event, and it's going to provide some really more great information for us to just better understand the technology as a whole. So why this is a big deal is because the tremendous amount of solar production facilities that have been built since the last eclipse, and that's why everybody is sort of not really on edge, but they're very interested in what's going to come as a result of this.
Now, you're also going to be reporting live on the amount of solar energy produced at a solar farm located in Lexington, Nebraska. And so what do you plan to learn from that?
So Lexington is a 4-megawatt solar facility that we built in Nebraska, and it just went online this May. It's the second largest in the state. And we have a monitoring system hooked up to that facility that allows us to read in 1-minute and 5-minute intervals how much that solar facility is producing. So as the eclipse comes, we are going to be able to see in those slight intervals exactly how that eclipse is affecting the production on that specific facility.
And Lee, Molly got to talk a little personally about chasing eclipse in her life, and I'm wondering where you're at in following the eclipse.
Well, I don't have near the experience of chasing eclipses. In fact, I can tell you quite honestly that I've chased exactly zero eclipses in my lifetime. So, but I do remember I was around in 1979. I was 8 years old at school, and we got to go outside and experience that eclipse. And I believe that was further northwest, if I remember correctly. Sort of stretching across. I think the path of totality was from Washington into Montana, then back up into Canada or something like that. So we had a pretty good view from our neck of the woods, but I was here in Rapid City and got to experience that. And at 8 years old, all I remember is craft class before that, making some sort of viewing tool out of a shoebox, and that's about all I can tell you. So I'm excited. I'm really excited to go down there and be a part of this. It sounds like it's going to be a great event, and joining half the country sounds like in that part of the world.
And are you planning on putting on the glasses and looking up, or are you going to be looking at your monitors the whole time?
You know, knowing me, I think I'm going to be more interested in all the monitoring equipment we have hooked up and getting into the numbers and seeing what's actually going on. So I'm as Molly will tell you, I kind of geek out at that kind of stuff rather than actually observing.
I don't know. Once you see it, I think you'll be a little bit awe-shocked, and you'll have to look up at least a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm excited. It'll be a great experience.
Molly will nudge you just a little bit. Now.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Put the computer down.
And so, Molly, for you in seeing the eclipse and now doing an experiment about it, take me to that shift for you in now being a scientist.
Yeah, the thought really didn't even occur to me as, you know, we're building out all these systems in Nebraska, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go see the eclipse with my family, until just a short while ago that, you know, we're in the unique position that we actually have systems in the path of totality, and with all this chatter going on the internet, we have the chance to be able to record real live data in real time. So it kind of shifted from this being a family affair to, oh, I'm going to do something, you know, kind of cool and scientific with this as well. So it was one of those light bulb aha moments. We could do something really neat with this. And so I'm glad that light bulb did go off.
And do you plan on writing a paper with your observations, or just let your numbers stand out there on the internet for others to draw conclusions, or what do you plan to do with the information?
You know, that's a good question. I think, you know, we certainly are going to be able to collect all the data and make heads or tails of it and use that information to communicate, you know, to those industry partners that we have. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, what I think is going to be most impactful to us and others that are in the business to bring about this change in how we view energy in the U.S. is that this total eclipse, it really should be used to kind of remind everybody of how important solar energy has become to our power generation fleet in this country. And with that, you know, being able to not only understand it better, but educate those end users, those individuals that may think every time the sun goes behind the clouds, nothing will work and that kind of thing. It's far more robust than that. And I'm looking forward more to using this information to be able to better communicate to those that we work with and those who we serve in this industry. So that's my main takeaway. And I know Molly's probably going to use the numbers for her own purposes as well. And I'm sure that includes a lot of data compilation and really being able to use that from a technical standpoint. So I just think it's going to be really interesting to see how others utilize this information as well.
Molly, anything to add?
No, I hadn't really thought about writing actual paper, but that's not a bad idea. So I might mull that over a little bit.
Okay. Well, Molly Brown and Lee DeLang, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today. And I look forward to following up with you after the eclipse and finding out how everything went.
That sounds great.
We look forward to it.
Thank you very much. Lee DeLang is the Chief Operating Officer of GenPro Energy Solutions and Molly Brown, Vice President of Energy Production of GenPro. Again, the company is conducting a solar experiment during the total eclipse using a water pump to witness the effects of what a total solar eclipse has on solar energy production.